Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to House Plans. Glad you could be with us this morning. Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker, back from a week-long research project of coastal real estate.
That's right.
How was it?
Let's get it on. It was good. I'm ready.
How was the coastal real estate? Did you look at any real estate?
I really didn't.
You
Nothing
unplugged?
Nothing to speak, I did.
Yep. Did you really?
Maybe for the first time in my life, really.
Well, that's good, Keith. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. It was fun.
But glad to have you back. And course,
I did listen
because
to
you
the,
had a whole week off, you're listen, in charge of the entire show
yeah,
this week.
I'm not prepared, I can tell you that. I did listen to the show on the podcast on the drive back. So
there
I connected
you go.
My phone to my car.
Yeah.
And went to the website, the WORD website.
How did we do?
Yeah, I thought y'all did terrific. First segment was a little bit slow, but y'all got some really good calls. You talked about second home financing.
Yep.
I thought it was an excellent show.
Yeah, well, it always goes well when you have callers.
Yes.
Questions, and comments make it all what it's supposed to be. So I'm going to go ahead and throw the number out there. Maybe we'll get some early today to keep us busy. If you want to talk about real estate, buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, give us a shout this morning, 866-442-7553. And, of course, you can also reach us on the text line if you want to remain anonymous, 71307. That's 71307. You know, Keith, I had an interesting conversation. I was out talking to a real estate agent, a broker this week, and he was talking about internet marketing and used one of your phrases, which was, I'd like to remain anonymous. And so he was telling a story about, I thought it was quite funny, where somebody was on his website looking at houses, but he was known as Fluffy because he didn't want to put any other information
in
there.
Yeah, we get some real unique names.
He said, you know, when you get that phone call and the guy says, I'm ready to look and my name is Fluffy, then he's like, you know, it's working. But, you know, if you want to ask a mortgage question or a question about buying or selling a house and you want to be Fluffy, you can always just send us a text over to 71307, that's 71307, and you can remain anonymous while getting your question
answered.
Yeah, but
the truth is you may, on the show here, we'll let you be anonymous, but on the internet, you may think you're anonymous, but you are not because you have an IP address, and most websites drop a cookie on there, regardless of whether you register or not.
Yep.
So
well, you know, I have seen because of all the privacy stuff now, they ask you, hey, want you to know we're doing cookies and would you like to say yes? But, I mean, if you don't say yes, then you can't go anywhere. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, you said you took a little time to listen to the show about second homes. From a real estate perspective, I think that would be a challenge trying to define goals and objectives, you know, because a lot of people say, I want a house at the lake.
Oh, I can give
and
you
they haven't gone any further than that. What lake?
Yeah,
how
I
big
can give
lake?
You a great example. We had a mutual client who looked in Charleston, looked in probably Isle of Palms, Hilton Head. When they were looking at Hilton Head, I was actually helping them navigate that.
Right.
They ended up actually making an offer but not working it out in Hilton Head, but ultimately end up at the Isle of Palms.
Right.
So that's a great example of them not having well-defined goals and objectives.
Yeah, and you think about how far apart of those
That's
two.
Exactly right. And of course, if you had purchased the Hilton Head property and you really wanted to be at Isle of Palms— then you made a huge mistake, right? Because they're two completely different lifestyles.
Yes.
Two completely different locations.
Both very crowded, though.
Well, they are today, aren't they?
Yes. I mean, it's amazing how crowded they are. You know, I talk to friends. You know, I grew up going down to Hilton Head because, you know, my mom worked for a pathologist down there during the summer. I mean, you know, his histologist would go on vacation, and he'd say, hey, you come down here and work for me this week, just 3 hours a day, and, you know, I'll put you up. And so that's where we went. And I remember how nice and not crowded it was.
Exactly.
But it was also not very commercial in those days because I'm old, and it was, you know, just a nice place to be. And then the last time I went down there, I was like, holy moly, this place is packed.
And you know what? Hilton Head is like one of the top four density, or five places, I mean, yeah, in the world where people travel to.
Yeah.
I mean, from all over the world, they're in Hilton Head.
Absolutely.
I'll pass on that, by the way.
Yeah, I need a little more relaxation. I'll take my North Litchfield.
Little less New Jersey.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, we are going to head into our first break of the day. You're listening to House Plans. Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker. We'd love to hear from you today. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, give us a shout, 866-442-7553. Or you can reach us on the text line, 71307. That's 71307. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to House Plans. Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker. You know where JD's at?
I do. Yeah, only because of you telling me this morning. But
JD and Rich and the Northwoods Little League are playing in Warner Robins in the Little League World Series Regionals. And so
they won last night.
They played their first game last night, a little double elimination tournament. I watched it on ESPN Plus, which means they're going to charge you. What that plus means, it's going to cost something. And it was a good game. They won. They beat Florida last night, and I think they play Alabama today at 7 tonight, I think. So
that Northwood, you know, I moved here in 1988, and Northwood Little League was already famous. I mean, yes, it's been famous.
It's the real deal.
Yeah, it's professional baseball on the east side. And they went to the World Series 2 years ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And they hope to be back this year.
Yeah, it's nice for them to be back. And so we certainly wish them the best and check it out on ESPN Plus. So it was kind of fun.
Good luck, JD.
Yeah.
Of course, Jay, he's not listening, but good luck, JD.
There ain't no doubt about that. Well, listen, we got our first question of the day. Keith comes in from a texter. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, give us a shout this morning, 866-442-7553. And then, of course, 71307 is the text line. And it basically it says, hey, I got a quarter acre residential lot.
Right.
I need to have one line resurveyed. What's it going to cost me?
Uh-oh.
Roughly. And so I thought, you know, surveys are always a good topic.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. What I'm guessing is somebody put something on his property. He wants to know where his line
dispute
is. Yeah, that's right.
So if you live in close quarters on a quarter acre lot,
yep,
and you want to survey one line, we know what that means, right?
Generally, it means somebody put something on your property. You know, I came home, I was telling the story during the break. I came home one time, and my next door neighbor had put a line of, I guess he didn't like me, he had put a line of, I'm talking about 20-foot tall Leland cypress trees.
Right.
You know, I mean, and I'm like, these were healthy. And he put in about 15 of them, and 9 of them were on my property. And so I had to go pay him a visit, and he was from New York or New Jersey or from somewhere. I said, first thing a neighborly person would do
normally
is tell somebody
the
they were going to do that.
Say, hey, knock on the door and bring some cookies and say, let me,
I'm going to put some trees up. Don't take offense.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, so I had to explain to him that's how we don't normally do it in the South. And then the second thing I had to explain to him is that 8 of them were on my property, and if I decided to cut them down, there wouldn't be nothing he could do. But I didn't like him that much either, so I planned on leaving them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you do have to be careful when you install shrubs, when you install a building, utility building,
fence,
always a challenge. But to the question about cost, as a general rule, I would say a full survey of a lot that size is going to be somewhere between $400 and $500. I would say $450 probably to get the entire thing surveyed.
Yeah. Now there's a short that if you're just trying to
determine one line.
Yeah. That go rent or borrow a metal detector, and chances are there are there is rebar on those corners.
Right.
And
you'll be able to find it.
That's right. They'd usually hammer the rebar down just below the top of the soil. So
right.
It's below the soil. When the house was built, they'll stick stakes, wooden stakes with orange flags in them so the new homeowner knows where they are. But when you pull those things out, then you really lose track of where it is exactly.
Sure.
But you should be able to find it with a metal detector and then pull a string on it.
Yeah, and then, of course, the expense has to do with, do you just want that line shown?
Yes.
So that would be a trip charge, and they would just do what you're talking about, Keith. They would find them. They would use the old survey to say, yep, one's here, and they could draw a string for you.
And if you have an existing survey, which he probably does, even if
yes.
he doesn't have a – even if you don't have a survey, an as-is survey, what we call an as-is survey, which is with the house on it, you can go online to the Greenville County website and find the subdivision survey for that phase.
Yes,
and
that
lot.
And if you
take a magnifying glass and look at it and – and find the distances, then you should be able to, you might even be able to find them just with a small spade and digging around if you know where they are.
Sure. And then, of course, what I'm talking about on the 450 would be a new recordable
survey.
But if you're just trying to find the line, I would guess a trip charge would be somewhere between $150 and $200 probably to come out there and search for it, find it, pin it, put a string on it, and just show you where that line is. Of course, you know, one thing we didn't think about is, you know, this listener may be wanting to put up their own fence and want to make sure that they're going to be inside the line, which is which we would always recommend. But I would say somewhere between $150 and $200 to have that done. You know, but survey is a great topic. You know, a lot of borrowers, especially if they've got a loan, you know, 20 years ago or plus, think that we as the lender require a survey. And most of the title companies now have gone to what they call a short form title insurance, which does not take exception to the survey as long as there's no encroachments or anything going on at the time. And so we, as a lender now, do not require a survey unless you're doing...
But at one time, it was required.
It was
right?
required, and we don't require it at all now. But I'd be interested to hear your perspective and the conversation you have with your clients when they're looking to buy. So I'm saying I don't need it.
Yep.
What's the conversation
with
your buyer?
Our conversation and our standard operating procedures always includes recommendation for a new survey. Now, we do that... because in today's world, we want to make sure we cover all our bases.
Well, you want to know what you're buying, right?
Liability purposes, so that nothing has changed. But we always recommend one, and you should know that when you go to closing, if you do not get one, most attorneys will have an affidavit for you to sign that says you decided not to get one. Now, that's how they explain it. You decided you did not want a survey.
But there's more to it than that.
But what the document says, if there is a dispute or there's something undiscovered or that the attorney has no liability in the event there's a problem with the property survey.
Yeah, and we're talking about liability under the title insurance, which could help you if it turns out that they did miss something.
Well, you know, they want their own blanket affidavit.
Sure.
The attorneys, many of them. I wouldn't say every.
And so, you know, what would you say in today's time, today's market, what percentage of your clients actually go the extra mile and get the survey?
I would say 50-50.
Really?
50%. Yeah, and if you're now, my understanding is that I know you do in the city. You have to send a survey to the city for them approve it before it's recorded.
Yes.
So do they do? Is it the same way in the county too?
Yes.
So what's the purpose in that?
Why? I'll be honest, I don't know, but we have had them rejected. You know, sometimes when we're down in. Let's say doing a loan down in Greenwood County for a relatively large size property, say 3 to 5 acres or more. And the old property description will say something like, go to the middle of the stream 3 feet and take a left. And, you know, it's not really clear. In those cases where the property description that's on the deed of trust is not very clear, it's highly likely that the attorney in that case may say, hey, we want one. And we have had several situations down there where they have prepared it, went to record it, and the county say, no, you need to do this, this, and this to change this before they record it. And then, of course, the surveyor will make the changes and then record it. I'm not exactly sure what they're looking for.
Well, they're trying to clarify the boundaries, right? I mean, the objective is to make sure that if you record a survey,
yes,
and then there's a dispute over the land a boundary in the future,
yes,
then part of your case would be that
Here's the survey that's recorded.
Absolutely. The county accepted it.
Right.
And based on the records, it's my property.
Absolutely. Well, listen, if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, do give us a shout this morning, 866-442-7553. And then, of course, you can hit us on the text line 71307. That's 71307. Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker, here to take your question, calls, comments, anything to do with real estate. And of course, Keith, one of the other things that I see where a survey is needed is when you're doing new construction. And when you're doing new construction, you like to have a foundation survey. And I also like to see a survey anytime you have a situation where anywhere close to a flood zone.
Yeah, we just recently reviewed one that I sent you. I think you were aware of this, but you pulled a flood cert, right? So if I see a tributary, the first thing I do is pull a flood cert.
Yep.
And in this case, the builder did a survey foundation.
Right.
And they did an elevation certificate, but they did them separately, and we wanted it all. They didn't
all
do an as
put into one.
And the purchaser didn't do an as-is survey, and we wanted that all tied in a bow.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we do have our first caller of the day. We got Johnny on a cell phone. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning.
What can we do for you?
I was talking to another gentleman. I bought a house back in the 70s, and it was a farmer's administration loan.
Okay.
And back then, you had to mail the payments in. I think it was somewhere in Missouri.
Right.
But I paid the house off, and I never received anything that looked like a deed or a title or anything. And I did receive papers that said the loan was paid in full.
So
but
what
I
you should have
received. That was the norm, or do I need to, you know, kind of look further?
Sure.
So
great question.
I get taxes on it every year.
Well, what you should have received would have been a copy of the canceled mortgage, stamped, paid, and satisfied, that the lender is responsible for getting released from the county records. And so that mortgage, the property was in South Carolina?
I'm sorry, I'm on my cell phone and I'm losing you, but I appreciate it.
Okay,
have
thank you.
Have a good
you.
Day.
So let's talk a little bit about what would happen in South Carolina, because what we have in South Carolina is a mortgage, but you also may have the term, like in Tennessee, they do what's called a deed of trust, which is the same thing as a mortgage, operates like a mortgage. And so when you finish paying your loan off, whether it's through refi or you made all the payments,
a happy day.
What you should receive in the mail is what should happen is the lender should take that mortgage, stamp it, paid and satisfied, and then send it to the county to have it released from record or record a satisfaction of mortgage, and then that paid mortgage should come back with the paid note to you just for your records. one of the things you can do is, because, you know, most of those records are electronic now, is you can go look online in most counties and see if that satisfaction of mortgage was ever recorded to kind of clean that off of the title. Oftentimes we do find, mortgages and or home equity lines of credit that were never released on a title, and it does clutter things up. But the lender is under obligation in the state of South Carolina to have it done, I think it's in 20 days, to have that released of record, and it's the onus is on them once you pay it in full to do it, and they're required to get it done. So,
but I think what Johnny was asking was there anything else that should have happened
yeah.
in regards to his deed? What happens with the deed.
Yeah, his deed to the property, nothing happens.
That's
but
right.
That mortgage that's recorded as a lien should be removed, and he should get some paperwork saying, hey, this is paid and it's been removed.
Yeah, and recorded.
And recorded as satisfied.
As satisfied.
And that would take care of that particular situation.
And usually it takes a couple of months, a month or two before you get it.
It
in
could
the mail.
Because it generally will go, it depends. Sometimes it'll go from the lender to the county directly to you. Sometimes it'll go from the lender to the county. They want it back. So that they can make sure they have a copy of it satisfied, and then they send it to you. But it could take up to 30 days. But it is important to follow up on that. Now, once you get that document back and you see that it's been recorded, it's not really worth much. You know, you watch a lot of those old movies, they burn them on the, you know, they use them to start
celebrate.
A fire to celebrate. But, you know, you just want to make sure it's removed of record so you don't have a problem with it later.
And really, I guess you'd have to do a title search probably.
To absolutely make
to
sure. But most of the times you can see it online. Well, listen, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour news break. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, 866-442-7553. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Chris Roberts with County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Looking for your question, calls, and comments. You can reach us at 866-442-7553, or you can hit us on the text line 71307. That's 71307. We've been talking a little bit this morning about surveys, a little bit about second homes, and also a little bit about the mortgage. And one of the things the biggest thing that we find when it comes to old mortgages on title, Keith, is where people have a home equity line of credit.
HELOC.
They used it or didn't use it, and the bank that has it forgets to remove it from record. And then so it causes a little bit of a problem when you go to sell or when you go to refi, because you have to chase that puppy down.
It needs to be closed.
Yes, it needs to be closed and released.
Just paying it off. To a zero balance doesn't
does not
close
the HELOC. That's right. And so you want to make sure that if your intention is to not use it again, is that you have it closed, and that means you're closing the account, but then you need to have them release that lien of record so that it doesn't show up on title. And sometimes that can take a little while, especially if the bank has been bought by a bank that's been bought by a bank that's been bought by a bank.
Yeah.
You can have a little bit of chasing to do. Well, listen, we do have another caller on the line. Alexander, let's go over to you. What can we do for you?
Hey, how you doing? My name is Alex. Hey, I bought a really nice house that I love, but I'm 58, and I'm probably going to move away from where I'm at in Spartanburg and Roebuck. I live right across the street from Dorman High School, and I just wanted to get your opinion about that market. They really started to build again there, because we were in that slump for the longest time, but they've started to build, and, you know, I think that the market's going to crest in about 3 or 4 years, and I just wanted to get your opinion.
Can you tell us a little more about the house? What style of house is it? How many bedrooms, bath, and square foot?
It's about 2,700 square feet. It's got three bedrooms and a huge living room area that actually could have. I guess they call it a den or whatever, family room. They could have been a fourth bedroom, but we elected to have a huge den like family area upstairs. It's a nice size plot. It's got a brick type finish and. No, just
sure.
I just really like the house, but
so is it on the main road or in a neighborhood across from the school?
Oh, it's right across the street in Tim Creek. There's two sides, Tim Creek, and then the gardens. Our houses go between. Well, when I bought it, it was like I think 70, and our houses go on one side under 250 on the other side, because there's another side of Tim Creek called the Montgomery Lake, and they start, I think they're right around 275 on up, but
yeah,
I'm on
so,
the low end.
And so your question is now a good time to sell?
Well, I would say two or three, you can't predict 2 or 3 years from now, but at looks like everything's starting to rise and everything.
Sure.
Because I'm probably going to be here about two or three more years.
Okay, that's a great question.
It
so
is a
Keith,
great question.
Are you familiar with that market?
I am. Yep.
And so what do you think about, you know, is it more active up there now? And then what do you think prices and activity,
trending.
Obviously, it's typical.
Yep.
What's the trend, and what would you expect over the next couple of years?
Yeah, very interesting conversation, because what we're seeing in Spartanburg, there'll be a little bit of a lag time in terms of trending. And what we're talking about is that southwest of Spartanburg,
right
down off of 26, and I think that's where that the road that goes into Woodruff,
right.
Sir, it's 26 and 221,
right
across the street from Dorman High School, which is a really good selling point.
Yeah.
Yes. My son there.
Absolutely. And
so the trend in that area is...
Yeah, what he's seeing is that things are coming back. So there's been a lag time.
And when you
in
say that,
lag
you're
time.
Talking about new building activity.
Yeah, new activity. And if you're familiar with the area... Carolina Country Club is in that general vicinity, and with the population of Dorman High School, you expect that area would have become more active than it is right now. But there's some other things to consider. What we haven't talked about it on the show today, but what we're seeing is some slowdown in other parts of the country. What we're talking about is some headwinds related to interest rates. And prices have risen to the point where you're starting to see a little bit more inventory. And so we're cycling back out of a very robust market where it might. Now, Chris has been predicting a recession for, about a year. Talking about it.
Yes.
Where he thinks we're going to see a recession. And I'm just going to give you my short, quick answer, okay,
sure.
Which I like to do, which is sell sooner rather than later. That's what I would say.
I would agree with that as well, because as we see the upward pressure in prices and the upward pressure in rates, there are going to be fewer people that will qualify and afford. So,
the good news is that he's in the median price, a
little
bit
right.
above median price.
Very attractive.
So you're in a price point that's very active. You've got
yes.
a great school across the street. You know, there's so many factors when you talk about individual property, the lot, the function. You know, you were talking about three bedrooms upstairs plus a den or a large bonus area, you know, some that may fit some families. Some families might prefer to have another bedroom,
sure,
rather than and it probably could be converted.
But it sounds like a great house
yeah.
at a great price point in a great location.
But the short answer is sooner.
I would
rather
say
than
sooner
later.
Rather than later.
Yeah.
Does that help, Alex?
Yeah, it does help, but I know my son's in Clemson now. My wife's not going to. She's not going to go anywhere.
I understand.
Not going anywhere.
Well, just tell her to go play the cut and paste from the podcast, send it to her an email, and say, honey, listen to this, okay?
She's not going to listen to us, Keith. Listen, I've been there. I understand completely. You got to get one thing done before you start another, so I got it. I understand.
Well, but here, listen, it took me a year to get my house ready to sell.
Sure.
Okay? So you may want to start thinking about what do we need to do?
Yes.
Are there any capital improvements? Roof, HVAC, painting, appliances. What do I need to update my house in terms to get it prepared
sure.
for the market? Because remember, it's a competition. We haven't talked a lot
yeah,
about selling out.
Yeah, we haven't said
out,
that, right?
But when you're selling your home, you're competing against other similar type properties. And if you map
let
out...
Me ask, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
How does engineer and hardwood, my wife is thinking about, we're thinking about putting engineer and hardwoods in, and I really don't think they add that much value to a house overall, but I'm a photographer. I have no idea if I'm right or wrong.
Go ahead.
Well, the conversation is about, that it does make a difference to the buyers. Hardwoods are very, very popular today. So if you go into a production home, all you have to do is walk into a model home that you would be competing with, and you'll see a lot of hardwoods in
Absolutely.
The family room, even in the kitchen, the dining room. And sometimes we even see them in throughout the downstairs.
Yeah.
So
yep.
it's not uncommon. And I would say the short answer is that you listen to your wife. The second answer is you want to do some research as to now a better solution is even a site finished floor.
Right.
So you want to compare pricing, and when you want to do it, the engineered hardwood floors are not as durable as site finish. So do all your research before you make a final decision.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Alex, we got to head into this break. Great questions. Appreciate the call.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I mean, that's a really good conversation. And, of course, we do know this, Keith, the better the condition, the faster
Absolutely.
It'll move.
Yeah, in fact, he probably should wait to do the hardwoods until right before you sell the house.
Yeah, but if he does that, he might want to stay.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of times you feel that way.
That's right. Well, we're going to head into our final break of the day. If you've got a question about buying, selling, or anything to do with the real estate, hit us up at 866-442-7553 or text us at 71307. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Thank you for listening to House Plans. Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker here to take your question, call, comments. We got a caller. We got Tom up in Columbus, and then we got a couple of text questions. We've got about 13 minutes left in the show. We're going to hop over to Tom. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Good morning. How y'all doing?
We're fantastic. What can we do for you?
Well, listen, I want to share real quick, and I know you got other folks that want to chime in, but I just want to share, you know, I don't think Keith was on the show last time I called in to thank him. This goes back a couple of years, well, actually probably 4 years ago. My dad had bought a condo at Hilton Head in the early 70s, and it had appreciated significantly, but my folks passed away. We were ready to sell it. Well, the market was down, and Keith put us in touch with a great guy, Sam, on Hilton Head.
Sam Pichone.
Yes, sir. He helped us rent it for a couple of years because the regime fees were wild. It was killing us financially. He helped us rent it for a couple of years, covered the regime fee, and then we sold it about 2 years ago for a really good price, and it was such a blessing. We were able to divide the proceeds among four siblings, and we paid our house off 2 months ago
That's
as a result.
So I just, hey, it's a great story.
You changed the entire future of our family.
That's great.
And I can't thank you enough. You all did just a fantastic job, as well as did Sam.
I mean,
we have to hand it to Sam. He was the one that made it happen.
Well, thank you, Tom,
for the kind words.
Yeah, absolutely. We certainly appreciate that. And glad it turned out as a financial success.
As sincere as I can be. Yes,
all right. Well, thank you so much.
If anybody goes to Hilton Head and they're looking for an agent, buy or sell, Sam's your man.
Sam Pichone.
A lot.
Yep.
All right. Yes, thank you, Tom.
Yes,
great. Great call. All right.
Have a good day.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we got several text questions over here, Keith. We got about 10 minutes left, so let's hit them as we go here. The first one is about Zillow. And basically what it says, is there any way to fight Zillow.com as it relates to value? Because the value is absolutely incorrect.
Oh, and I love so, that language.
Yeah. And so, you know, one of the things that we all know is that what Zillow does is they're pulling public data, public records. And one of the examples I've seen is in a, say, a $200,000 house neighborhood, an investor will come in and buy two properties that are right beside each other in one transaction for maybe $400,000, and then it'll show a $400,000 price for each property when you look it up, which we all know is not right.
Right.
It can also happen in a mill village where somebody might buy three properties for $150,000, but they're worth $50,000, $50,000, $50,000. And so the question is not really how do you fight Zillow, but how do you provide information.
More accurate information.
More accurate information.
Yeah.
And so can you speak
and really
to that a little
the,
bit?
Chris, the scenarios for most people is not related to a higher comp, but for Zillow giving them a lower value
right.
than what their home is actually worth or what the fair market value of it. And we see this all the time. My colleagues will be glad to hear. Some of them will know, some of them won't know. But what you want to do is the first thing you want to do is for the owner to take control of that record.
Right.
By going to Zillow and claiming the property as the owner and setting up a dashboard. And then you can input accurate data. It might be square footage, features, finishings, just a general accurate data updating. You may have updated some things that you want to input. And when you do that, in most instances, believe it or not, unless you're, well, even if you're increasing square footage, sometimes you'll see the value on Zillow go down immediately. And I'm not sure what their algorithm does, but I think that it starts over.
Right.
So when you input data or take control over it, it must reconfigure that algorithm, and most of the time the value will go down in the short term for a few weeks.
Right.
And then it begins, I think, to collect more data,
right,
re-pull data, and then typically it will become closer to the fair market value or even in some instances your objective. Well, on the sell side, your objective is for that Zestimate to be higher
sure.
than your asking price.
Yeah, now, and I would imagine one of the other things that you could see on any type of online system is that if the property that sells in your neighborhood is not an arm's length transaction, so let's say it sells for $150 when it should have sold for $300, but it's two brothers changing properties or trading houses
yeah.
or a distress sale or a foreclosure. Now, foreclosures, they usually will pick up. In those particular situations, then, you know, that information that's there will have an impact, but it may not be a non-arm's length transaction at fair market value. And so it is important to make sure that the information is accurate and that the way you can do that, like you said, is to claim the property and input that data.
Yeah, you have to go online. It says at the bottom of the page, it says, are you the owner of this property? You say yes, and then it asks you some questions.
To make sure.
Yeah, to verify that you're the owner. Now, when you list the property, the agent can actually take control over it on their dashboard if you're a Zillow Premier agent.
Gotcha.
So I'll go in, and then once we list the property, then you take control of it, make sure the data is accurate
sure.
and that it's your listing, and then hopefully you'll get a better Zestimate, a higher value.
Absolutely.
Now, I must tell you that I don't touch it if it's above asking price. Okay? Because for some reason, Zillow detects when there are changes.
Sure.
And it in almost all instances I've seen, it drops.
It goes down immediately.
For a period of time.
On a completely separate note, Keith, I'm looking to build a house, and I know now's the time to sell. But building costs and interest rates are on the rise. Should I wait to build? Any signs that it will calm down in the next year or two? And I tell you, that's a loaded question.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I was on the wait 1 year or two back when things were hot. Before the original downturn, I bid out a house. And it came in high because things were like they were now, and rates were much higher at that point in time.
Scarcity of labor, higher material prices.
Yes. And yeah. So I waited, and this was a big house that I built, but I actually saved $150,000 by waiting a year and a half until the market changed. And the entire market changed. I would not expect that type of huge change. I mean, basically what I did is I built in the middle of the downturn. And, you know, the builders were actively seeking business. The contractors were actively seeking work. Construction prices had dropped. It was definitely a buyer's market, not a seller's market. Probably 9 months of inventory, maybe even 10 months of inventory at the time. And then the price point I was building at, there was nobody doing anything. And so sometimes that works. You know, the question is really, what do you think about the current economy? If it continues to improve, then what I would expect to happen over the next year to 2 years is that rates will continue to rise and that the economy will continue to grow and that it's going to get more expensive, not less expensive.
Yeah, and I must tell you, Chris and I probably fall down on different sides of this, but because of the restructuring of the tax laws,
sure,
it just seems to me I'm bullish on the economy,
sure,
because of the change, the dramatic change in the tax laws. Now that could change, you know, if the
sure.
election goes in another direction. But my short answer is I would do it now rather than later.
Yep.
You got a lot of predictability right now. Now, there are some variables there. I was multitasking when we went through the question, but are they going to build on with cash or is it a loan?
Right.
Cash?
It doesn't say.
Yeah. So that would be a factor of mine. If the cash is in your pocket,
sure,
you might acquire the land and then build. And then you probably have more control over who to choose in the costing than you think.
Right.
But if you can limit, so if you know that lot, you want that lot, you're 100% sure.
Yep.
And you know you're going to, unless something catastrophic
right.
occurs, then I'd probably buy the lot if I'm building with cash, and then I'd just build. I might wait a little bit. I'd make that based on my own personal preference.
Sure, absolutely. Well, listen, we got one more question. And, of course, if you want to reach us outside the show to talk deeper about any of these topics, all you got to do is send an email to askjd@countybankmortgage.com or call us at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. We'd love to talk to you. Keith, this is a great question here. It says, my daughter wanting to buy her first home, so we got a first-time home buyer, 2 or 3 bedroom and 2 bath home. She prefers the I-85 area, Highway 101 South towards Simpsonville. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about that market. My first thought would be 3-bedroom, 2-bath, always over 2-bedroom, 2-bath, because the availability of comps and desirability on 3-bedroom is always going to be greater, even if I had to pay a little more.
Yep, and I would add the bonus room to that from a resale point of view.
Sure.
So if you're going to do 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, I always add, say, let's make sure there's a bonus room so that you can appeal to a larger group of buyers in the resale market. I love that area. What you're seeing around the BMW has had such an impact over the last 10 years.
Right.
All the way up above Greer and all the way south down, you know, Michelin's building a huge distribution facility on 101.
Right.
Now, here's what I would say. Don't buy right off of 101. You want to go into the interior, away from the commercial district.
Right.
Make sure you don't have any road noise from 85. I'm getting in the weeds here, but
yeah, sure.
But it's good advice.
Yep. And where does the process start? The process starts with making a phone call to a local lender, getting pre-qualified to make sure you have clear and concise information about what you can afford, and not only what you can afford, but what you won't. What does your budget look like? Because you're probably going to be able to afford more than you want to spend. So what does the budget look like, and then what you do?
And then, of course, the next question is goals and objectives. How long are you going to be in the house? Is your family going to grow into that home? Well, I hear the music, so we can't. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about goals and objectives next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, what I'd recommend is that your daughter shoot an email over to askjd@countybankmortgage.com. We can start the conversation there. What's the loan going to look like? How are you going to set it up? If she wants to call us, she can call us at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. I'd like to thank all of our callers and listeners today. Great show, because you ask all those great questions. We really appreciate that. And, of course, we'd like to wish the best of luck to Northwoods Little League tonight when they play Alabama. And good luck, JD. We'll see you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.